So if y'all would please help me introduce Mr. Josh Bolton.
Hallelujah. All right, guys. I never thought going into this conference, I never thought that I would be have such a personal connection because of the age difference with everybody. But especially when we broke up into guys and girls, I really felt a personal connection with all the guys, and it just meant a lot to me. But we're going to start off with Proverbs 16:33. And it says, "We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall." And this spoke to me as we was riding to Savannah, me and Megan. And I just kept thinking 16:33. And then I had Megan look it up. And she was, and we was looking and looking. And just when she said that verse, it made me think, it depends on how I throw the dice, but the Lord will always determine where they go. And I threw the dice, and I gave it all to God. And he really determined how they fall, and he changed my life. But what I learned in the conference is that it's not just about me. It's about everybody as one body of Christ. And John Gray, he spoke on the color of love, which what our world is going through now is a whole depression on race and stuff like that. And he said, "We are all brothers and sisters of Christ because we were saved by the same blood. The same blood that saved me saved you." And he said the color of love is not black, white, Hispanic, Latino. The color of love is red, because that's what Jesus gave for us. He gave his blood. And in Philippians 3:17, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." I think we've all learned how to live in a godly way by each other, but we really learned how to live looking at how Cam and Gentry lived their life. And we really seen that. And sometimes I would just look around the arena, and it was amazing because everybody had their hands up praising the Lord. And I thought that I was the only one going through things, but everybody does. Everybody has their faults. But the great thing about that is the Lord overcomes, and he gives you his, he gave us his son. And I just want to thank all our youth leaders for the guidance they gave us and making sure we got where we got. Mr. Jimmy, Ms. Shea, Cam, Gentry. But John Gray really spoke to all of us there at the youth conference on how he was making sure that we knew that this is a hospital for the broken, and that this is not a spiritual museum for the elite. It's not just about us. It's about going out and serving people, and it's just about serving people and giving what we have. It's not about us. It's about giving. We give everything to him, and we show love first. And if we judge, then think about what you're doing. You're judging somebody that has alcohol problems, or judging somebody that has dealing with cigarettes, but then you're dealing. Then look at yourself. You're dealing with pride issues because you think you're above them. So, and then that's a sin within itself. But Levi Lesko, he really opened up to all of us by saying how his daughter died from asthma. He said that she died from asthma. She was unconscious, and he called the hospital, and he was telling us about how you're looking through the right lens, and that it was 1,317 days that he's been without her. But he looked through a different lens, and the lens he looked through, he said, I'm 1,317 days closer to her, to seeing her. It's through in heaven. And that was just spoke a lot. I think it spoke a lot to all of us. And John Gray, he really spoke about, we was all on our feet clapping. And then he told one thing. He said, Jesus is bigger than our culture. Jesus, he made uncomfortable decisions and loving decisions to save us. So we need to make uncomfortable decisions to go out there and serve and make the right decisions to live a life like he did. And one thing I was thinking about the whole time is that there's no way that I could bond with all these people because of the age difference. But Jesus overcame that. And he came and he just opened my heart to all of them. And I kind of thought of it like, as me, myself, I come broken into pieces. And then coming out of the conference, I was one. And then we come into pieces, 33 of us, 33 pieces. And now we are one, but we come together. And just remember, the color of love is red, not black, not white, not Hispanic. That's all I got.
Praise God, praise God. Y'all, next up, we got a special lady. She's full of wisdom. She's full of joy. As a matter of fact, she was joy. She dressed up and was joy here. If everybody please help me introduce Miss Sarah Collins.
Okay, I'm a crybaby. Okay, first, I just want to say how proud I am to be able to say that I'm a part of this group.
Is that help or dog getting away?
I don't know. Okay. The past 3 days they've been full of conviction and emotion and exposure to new people and new things and new places and the Holy Spirit, like, without a doubt. Okay, there's this song. It's by Elevation Worship, and it's like Stephen Furtick, he's preaching and doing his thing and getting so turned and talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says in it, he says, we're not waiting for a move of God. We are the move of God. And that kept on, like, it wouldn't leave my mind the whole time we were there, the whole time we were worshiping. And so, yeah, okay, I like that. Then it says, what happens on the mountain can't stay on the mountain. It can't stay in. It has to go out. And I think this group, we're strong, and I know we're going to go out. It's not going to stay at Motion. It's going to come to Sylvania. Okay, I know I'm like boo-hooing right now, but I wasn't as emotional at motion as I am right now. And it was bothering me, and I was like, I don't know, like, I'm not crying all the time, like, because last year I would cry the whole time. And so it was bothering me. And then, so I was praying, and I was like, okay, like, the Holy Spirit's here, God's here, and he's moving in everyone. So, and I was like, God, just, like, fill me up with something, like, a refreshing, like, feeling. Okay, I'm going to sit down. Okay, so the last session, Mark Pettis was preaching, and and something he said, okay. I also can't read in front of people, so okay. He said, here's the vision. I see an army of young people that will lay down their lives for the cause, as radical on Monday morning as Sunday night. They don't need fame from names because they're disciplined. Young people who beat their bodies into submission, whose battle cry is, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I love that too. Okay, so then after he said that, at Motion, you break up into community groups and you're in like different age groups, and then there's boys and girls, you're all split up, and then they're trying to get you to meet new people. And then he told us, he said, go get in groups with the people you came with, like go get with your church. And so we did, and that was my favorite of like however long we were there, 3 days. So that was my favorite. And that's when the Holy Spirit came and like washed over me. Okay, who is thankful that we have a God that's bigger than us? And I said that I wasn't emotional there, and I wasn't. But I'm just thankful that he's a God that when he shows up to show out, and you can't handle what he does calmly. So I asked for him to show up, and he did. And I guess I was ready. I don't know, not really, because I cried a lot. But so we were praying, we got in a group, and we had, like, all hugging each other, and everybody was crying and, like, shaking and snot and stuff. And then, so we were praying, and people that don't usually pray out loud were praying out loud, and then people, I haven't looked at this side of the room, oh my gosh, people that don't usually, like, raise their hands in worship, they were, like, standing with their hands raised the whole time we were singing. And me and Mason were talking about it. We're like, I don't know, like before we left, we were thinking like, this is going to be really big for the people who haven't came before. And I think it was. And I think it was still big for people who have already gone. But I don't know, here, just seeing the change and like the change in confidence and the like realization that you don't qualify for God. Like, he comes to everybody. That just, I don't know. It just makes me emotional. But that was my favorite part. And I'm not good at talking in front of people. And I'm not good at praying in front of people or reading in front of people. But after the little come to Jesus and he came and made me emotional, I don't know. It made me feel really good. And I feel like that was, I don't know, just the best. Like, it does not get better than that. That's what I think.
Holy Spirit getting loud up in here. All right, y'all. Next, we got my buddy John Boy. Yo, John, I think everybody can say, he was preaching every night when we get done. We'd finish our group or our sessions, and we'd get back to the hotel. We'd give everybody a chance to go to the bathroom, come back. We'd meet up in Jenton's room, and everybody would sit down and give one thing that stood out about that day to him. And John could never give one thing. He'd preach 10-minute sermon in there, it seemed like. So, John, I'm excited to hear what you got to say, buddy. If everybody helped me welcome John Martinson.
Thank you. Well, when I get nervous, I shake. My voice shakes. My legs shake, and I don't want y'all to see that, so I'm going to sit. I don't think that there's any accurate way to put this weekend into a picture. You can say, it was wonderful, it was amazing, it was awesome, but, like, there's no way you can make it into, you can't paint a picture. It was, the Holy Spirit was there the whole time, and people were, like, people's lives were changing all around you. And Sarah, like what Sarah said, she wasn't emotional, and that scared her. And with me, everybody's lives were changing all around me. And I was thinking, oh, gosh, we got to Saturday night, and I was, like, panicking. I'm, like, grabbing my hair. I haven't had a life-changing experience yet. This is bad. I got to do something. Something's got to happen. But then I realized that I'd already had my life-changing experience. And on Easter weekend, my brother, who is not known for being emotionally expressive or really expressive in any way, he's kind of a stone and a man, and but he whipped out a video, and it was about Barabbas and what he means to the story of the Christian faith, and how Jesus was more than willing to take the place of this sinner and this person that only sinners looked up to, and he was more than happy to do that. And it went on to talk about how, or went on to say that you can't do it on your own. Like, why are you trying to do this? Why are you trying to fight this sin? You're not strong enough. The devil is strong. I don't know if any of y'all know that, but he is. And you can't deny that, but God is stronger. And when you ask for his strength and you don't ask for your own and you don't try to use your own, you get strong. So anyway, I was not going to say that. I was laying in bed because I always try to over-prepare. And I was laying in bed, like, saying what I was going to say, and I was going to say all that, and then I was like, nah, I don't need to say all that. But I did, because Sarah said what she said. I wrote down some verses that I saved along the way, because I love a book Bible, because it's all big and strong and powerful looking, but this Holy Bible app is the bomb, because you can just save stuff and go back to it and click on it. It's awesome. Anyway, I didn't save this one. Hold on. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. If any of y'all were at the baccalaureate service, that guy was the bomb. And he said some stuff that was like, dang. But I know y'all know this, but I'm going to say it again. The time we're in now is rough. And things are nasty and dirty everywhere we look, and it's harder and harder to find things that are actually pure. And you get in a place with 14,000 people, and you look around, and everybody's jumping around and shaking the whole place, and it's awesome, but you realize that you're going to go out into a world where you might be one in 14,000 that wants to do that, and things are going to get nasty, and things are going to get nastier. And Paul writes that in Timothy, 2 Timothy, he says, I'm shaking like a leaf, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound of wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Y'all, it's so true. You look, you go, you don't, you're just trying to shop for groceries in the grocery store, and you get to the line to pay. There's magazines with women all over them, and it's just, you're trying so hard to just live a good life, and you're seeing all these things, and it makes me so mad sometimes. I told Eric Peoples, I don't think he's here, but I told him that we were in the grocery store together, and you just, gosh, like, why can't people just try to be like we want to be? They're not going to be, and it was never said that it was going to be that way until we get to heaven. So we just have to stay really strong, but we can't try to be strong on our own. I told all the guys when we got together in the community group, I kind of shared my testimony, which I'm not going to share here. It was for the guys. Hold on, off track. Anyway, I told them that, for me, every day, Cam told us one time that every day you have to wake up and crucify yourself to the flesh, because it's there every day. The temptations are there every day. And so the prayer I pray is always, God, I need you to give me your strength. I can't have my own strength. I don't want you to make me strong. I want you to come over and take over, because I can't even do this holding on with one hand. You've got to take the whole thing. All right, next. I'm sorry if I'm going too long. I said I was going to try to make it brief in my own head, but I guess not. James 4:7 is probably pretty common, but going along those same lines, it says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So that moment when you realize that, wow, I'm not strong enough. This world is too much. The devil is too much. The powers of hell are too much. And you got to say that to God, and you got to say that to yourself, and you got to realize that you're weak and you're a morsel to what the world has to overpower what you have. And if you don't put your strength in the right place, which is Jesus, you're not going to go anywhere. So when you realize that you can't do it on your own, that's when you're going to get somewhere, and that's when the devil's going to be like, dang it, he's with those people now. He's with those 33 people that were jumping around and shaking the stadium. Dang it, I can't get in there now. And I think that part where I said that, I haven't had a life-changing experience yet, this is bad, I think that was the devil trying to reach in and tell me that, John, you're here and all this is happening, but you're not really getting anything major out of it. You're not doing it right. You're not good enough. And that's like, because he's so tempting with his little words, and it's so aggravating. But then you realize where you are and the kind of place you're in. I don't want to keep talking for too long. I got one more verse, and this is my favorite verse, and it's become my favorite, and it kind of has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but it kind of does, so I'm going to say it anyway. It's Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And I get the guilt for what I've done in the past was so crippling to me that I would wake up every morning in tears. And it would just, and it really doesn't make any sense, because I would know that God had forgiven me, and I would know that the people I'd sinned against had forgiven me, but I'd still wake up and I'd be like, oh, you still did it. And the devil would be telling me, John, it doesn't matter. They've forgiven you, but you'll never be able to forgive yourself. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to amount to anything. And you wake up with that, and you wake up knowing and reciting and rehearsing all the things that you've done in your head, and it just builds up to the point where you can't do anything. And my parents know it, and they saw it happening to me, and they were good to me, and Macy saw it, and she was good to me, and I don't know if anybody else saw it, but there was a time where I couldn't find joy in anything. I could get little moments of happiness and little moments where it would be okay, but every day when I would go home, it would just come back, and I'd be thinking, you still did it. But it's gotten better. I got on some medicine, because there's some things that you can't handle on your own, and there's some things that God gave doctors to help us with, and I think a little bit of anxiety medicine is good if you need it, but not if you don't. So anyway, I found this verse, and I don't know if anybody's ever really heard of it before, because it sounds like Philippians 4:13, but it's Philippians 3:14. So everybody, I was like, I tell that's my favorite verse, and everybody's like, no, that's not even right. But yeah, it is. It says, this is verse 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. This is where it gets me. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. And y'all, this is coming from Paul, who slaughtered Christians. He would drag them by their hair. Who was it? Was it Rich Wilkerson telling us that? He would drag them by their hair in front of the judges so they could be slaughtered. And when you look at somebody who was a murderer, who murdered God's people, and he writes all these books in the New Testament, and he's able to say, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That gives me so much hope. That gives me so much hope in the moments where I'm sitting in my bed, remembering all the bad things I've ever done, trying to decide whether or not I need to go tell somebody a thing I remembered that I did wrong in 2001 or something. It's so good because the devil's power is crippling if you let it. He's a tough dude and he's resilient and it's aggravating, but Jesus is always there. And once you look to him and you tell him that I can't do it on my own, it's all going to be okay. And even when it doesn't feel okay, it's going to be okay. I got one more thing. It's not a verse. It's just something I realized. The arena made a bowl shape, as most arenas do. And I was kind of thinking, being all philosophical, about a snowball in an avalanche. And if you were to start that snowball rolling at the top of the arena, and you relate that to what the motion trip was for us, that's the top. I don't know if it gets any more powerful than that or any more exciting than that. But you leave, and things start going downhill. You start getting into the bad stuff, and then the nasty stuff, and then the disgusting stuff, and then you get into that valley where it doesn't look like you're ever going to get out, and it's dark, and it's disgusting, and it smells bad, and everything looks bad, and everything doesn't look like it's going to get any better. But the motion that we got put in, and that snowball, it goes down, and it catches people, and it pulls them up by their roots, and it takes them out, and it rolls with them, and they roll with it, and it goes into all that nasty stuff, and that snowball that turned white while we were at motion gets brown and black and disgusting, and it's got leaves and roots and a bunch of gunk and poop all over it, but it carries enough momentum to where you roll back up, and you keep going up the hill, and it slows down, and it gets to where it doesn't look like it's going to reach the top, but then it does. So you go and you pick up all these people, and I think that's the Christian faith. You get to your point where you're like, all right, there it is. I've got it now. And then you go out and there's life. And your whole mission is to pick up as many people as you can along the way. And it's not a flat surface. It's not you're not going through the hallways at motion, picking up people who already know him. You're picking up the people who smell bad and the people who've done things that they think are too much. And you roll into those terrible places and you pick up as many people as you can and you try to get them to that point on the other side of the arena, on the other side of the valley, where it's your back again and you get sprayed off by Jesus and that snowball that turned black and brown and got roots all over it, he sprays it off and it's white again. And that's so hard for so many people to understand, but it's so hard. It was so hard for me to understand that you could actually be sprayed off. Like, I don't know, I guess I thought my mud and gunk were too thick, but they're never too thick. Jesus is awesome, and this weekend was just unbelievable, and you can't put it into words. And for students, I hope everybody gets to go, and if you didn't go, I hope you go. And for people from, if you just graduated college to if you're using a walker, you need to find something like this to go to, because it is truly one of the most amazing things to see your brothers and sisters worshiping and tearing down the house. So, thank you.
I think John's teaching youth next Wednesday. All right, y'all. We got one of our praise and worship leaders. Where you at? There she is. If everybody would please help me introduce Miss Megan Edwards to the stage.
Good morning, you guys. Don't we serve a great God? I'm standing up here because I have to bury down on something. But, okay, so this weekend, Motion was amazing. This is my fourth year going, and I'd have to say that the feeling of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in that room was one of the best feelings that since I've been to Motion. So I am just so happy that everyone went. What I'm going to be preaching on or talking about today is you're never too old or too young or, you know, no matter what your career or anything like that is or your hobbies, God always uses you, no matter what. And this is like one of the main things that I learned at Motion because, you know, I was just like starting to begin to think that God's not going to use me, you know. And then, it, you know, during worship, you know, we were all, like Sarah said, we were boo-hooing, and it was just amazing. And I realized that, you know, being up here, I'm on the worship team, as you saw, but being up here and having a mic in my hand and being able to worship Jesus and being able to show other people, you know, or lead other people in worship is great, and, you know, but as some of you might know, I'm going to college to be a cosmetologist. And some of you also might know, I talk a lot. And I love to talk. and I'm sure that my teachers in high school, middle school, and elementary school would back me up on that. And I love to hold a conversation, you know. It came to me during worship that the same way that I do worship up here with a mic in my hand, I can do the same thing while, you know, cutting someone's hair, doing their makeup, you know, just carry on conversations about Jesus and just showing them, you know, the love of Jesus and always being, always showing a joyful person out of me. So, Dawn Cherie, I got that idea from Dawn Cherie because she, you know, she had said, you don't need a mic to spread the love of Jesus, you know. God can definitely use you. The next thing that I learned is something very, very great, and it's talking about we have to, us as Christians, like the others said, this world right now is just awful, and it's brutal, and just people just don't love anymore, some people, like, and it's just awful. So we have to be, in this world, we have to be loud for Jesus, you know. We have to be bold. I think Chad Veach had said, right whenever he came on that stage, he said, we have to be bold. Or it might have been Mark Pettis, but it doesn't matter. If you'll get out your computers, as Mr. Mills says, or your Bibles, and flip to 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 51. Probably not going to read all that because it's really long. But, all right, so it says, don't worry about this Philistine. It's talking about David and Goliath. Most of you have probably heard it, but it's Goliath is a giant, and I'm sure it's going to explain it. Well, I think it explained this before, but Goliath is a giant that has an army behind him, and he's just, you know, bashing the Philistines. No, just kidding. Bashing the people who were fighting against him and talking about their God, talking about our God that we serve. And so I'm going to go ahead and start reading. It says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul said. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. I just want to say this is one of the biggest pet peeves that I have. Just because people are young does not mean that they can't go out there and serve Jesus and do the same things that others can. You know, and it's always bothered me. And yeah, I know that this generation isn't the best, you know, but we can be the best for Jesus. You know, we can go out and share his word. Because I'm telling y'all, it's time for change. It really is. It is. So us young people and even older people, you know, go out and do something, you know, go out and change the world. Be bold for Jesus, you know. All right, so I'm going to continue reading. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." Y'all, that makes me think exactly about God and the devil. Whenever the devil comes to attack God's children, us, if you pray out to him and, you know, reach out to him, he will take the devil. He already has, but he will bring back your confidence, bring back your love for others, take away the hate. He will beat the devil again, over and over. So, I've done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear, and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul got on his armor. And I think Cam spoke about it one time. I don't think I was here, actually, but I listened to the CD. He was talking about putting on the armor of God. And, like, he was talking about the chest plate and, you know, the legs and stuff like that. And it was just amazing. So, anyways, so David went and put on the armor of God, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. He says, I can't go in this. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. That's quite some faith right there, y'all, taking off that armor. It is quite some faith. And put them into his bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath, the giant, walked out toward David and with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt. "This ruddy-faced boy, am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick." And he cursed David by the names of his God. "Come over here and I'll give you flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear, javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." How powerful is that? Like, that is just amazing. Because you can do, it says that God can do anything. You know, nothing is impossible whenever it comes to him. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead body of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God, that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. That is amazing. One stone, you guys. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he has no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from his head, from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. So, it's just amazing to me how you can kill, maybe, how tall were they? Maybe 7, 8 foot? I know you had told us one time. But anyways, so they were 7 or 8 feet, the giants back then. And Goliath was 7 or 8 foot. And it's just amazing how one stone can tear down 7 to 8 feet worth of human. And it's just, it's by the grace of God. And of course, God was there. And God was like, "You are not fixing to bash my name in front of my people. You are not fixing to bash my name in front of my children." And his children stood up to him. And like I said before, be loud for your God. Be bold. Go out and do something. And one of these things that really touched my heart, so John Gray, he was there, and he is amazing. Y'all, he was getting it, okay? He had us clapping and standing up for like 10 minutes straight, and he was, you know. And so he said, he was like going on. He was like, he was, as some young people say, on fleek, you know. And he said, if you're going to be loud about your devil, I'm going to be louder about my God. And that was just amazing to me. And that just made me think, like, we can't be afraid. So, therefore, I feel like the devil is Goliath. And we have to be bold, and we have to defeat the devil. We have to let God help us defeat the devil. So, yeah, that's what I learned at Motion. It was an awesome time, and I thank you all for, I'm so glad that you guys went, and it was amazing, and I hope that all the rookies that went had a great time, and I hope that all of you guys and more come next year. So, thank you.
Y'all, next up, if everybody please help me introduce Ms. Monk Nunez.
Because I get really nervous. Okay, so one of the first things at conference that happened was, I think it was like the second night when I had one of my life-changing experiences. There was a guy named Mark Pettis, and he was praying and everything, and he had us all close our eyes. And he was praying for people that were hurting and just were all broken. And he said, if that was you, raise your hand. And a lot of us raised our hands, and I thought I would be the only one. But when I raised my hands and closed my eyes, it was like I saw something, and it was like everyone around me was walking out of the arena, and it was just me standing there. And it felt like he was just praying right for me, and I thought that was really cool. And then when you're in a room with 14,000 other people worshiping Jesus, you don't think that you're going to have a very intimate moment with God, and you really do. Because when you're just sitting there, and when one of my favorite things is when the leader of the song during worship steps away from the microphone and just lets everyone around them sing, it's just one of the most magical moments. Bucky, can you play that video? Like, it's just really an amazing experience knowing that 14,000 people are in the room under the same name, worshiping the same God as you. And there was one song that a lot of us liked. It was called Love on the Line. And some of the lyrics of it were, with arms held high, Lord, I give my life, knowing I'm found in Christ, in your love forever, with all I am, in your grace I stand, in greatest of all romance, love of God my Savior. To the one who has rescued my soul, to the one who has welcomed me home, to the one who is Savior of all, I sing forever. And during that part, there was a girl next to me. And Kara saw her too. And I think she was mute because I could see her singing the songs and everything. But she was standing next to me, and I could see her closing her eyes and bowing her head. And then she started signing. So she was praying to God using sign language, and I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And they gave us these bracelets, and during certain parts of the songs, they would all light up, and it was just really cool, like looking around the arena, just seeing everyone's arms raised.
Oh,
And just being in a room with 14,000 people, and you're with complete strangers, but you're all just under the same name, is just one of the most life-changing experiences, and I'm glad I got to share it with you guys.
Mr. Mason, come on down. Everybody give a round of applause. Mr. Mason Torres.
Wow, wow, wow. I'm really hoarse. That's probably the loudest I've ever sang, but I sing pretty loud in my car, but I'm even louder there. Wow. All of us just praising everything. Let me just go ahead and get this one out. It was awesome. The whole thing was awesome. But last year after Motion, it was during this church service, we were standing up and singing. And then when I went home on my little sheet that you take notes on, Cam was sitting behind me, and I didn't know he did it. I checked it when I got home, though. And it said, go forth and preach ye the gospel. And I mean, I guess he didn't know it was going to be the theme for this year, go forth. But that really spoke to me. Like, I thought so amazing. I don't know. He knew what it was going to be before it was. And that really hit home with me. And then when we got there, we were waiting in line in the hot sun. I wasn't really paying attention to that, and I was just sitting there dying, sweating, trying to wait for the doors to open. And I heard somebody talking to somebody, and they were like, you're only four people short from knowing everybody in the world. And I was like, how's that? And then I heard him just explaining it, and he was like, you know somebody, and they know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. And it's like all over the world. And it's like, whoa, that really does. That's true, because everybody knows everybody. And so, like, it don't matter what you find one person, you need to plant that seed. Go forth and plant that seed that you know the gospel and you're praising him and that teach of all his wonders and everything. And then Chad Veach was talking about, I got an agent. Jesus came down to the earth and died for the sins of humanity. His agent, he takes over everything that we have, everything that we've done, everything we're going to do. He's already took it away. His blood was shed for us. Everything that we've done is covered with him. And then our small groups, the boys, John and everybody that talked, I didn't barely talk at all, but I was just taking everything in. John and everything he said, everything he's went through, I've been going through that, and I haven't really told anybody, but I'm glad that he said everything he did, and everything that was in me is, like, lifted up. Like, all my burdens are lifted, everything. I love everything he said, and now I'm free from that because of what John said. So I just want to thank him. And then we were worshiping. That was awesome. Every 14,000 people worshiping one God. One God. And then we went back to the room, and my sister, major role model in my life, everything she does, she said, that's what it's going to be one day in heaven. Just like that. Everybody singing, dancing as loud as they can, as hard as they can, just to please God. They're just praising God and everything. That's what that's going to look like. So amazing. Wow. Ooh. And then going back to the grow groups, when we were in those, like, talking about our pain and everything we've been through, who said this? Levi Lusco said this, because he's the one with the daughter. He said, you will see the purpose of your pain and the pain to your purpose. I mean, the pain to your power. Because everybody's going to go through some kind of pain. It don't matter what they go through. They're going to have some kind of pain. But there's a purpose to it. Because on the other side of your pain, there's going to be power. And you use that power to go and preach the gospel and tell how he got you through that. Everything has a purpose to it. And God just shows you that. And he gives you your lens. This was cool. He gave us 4 points, Levi did. Look beyond. You look beyond everything you've gone through. Look beyond everything that's going to happen to you. And then E, earnest expectations. Earnest, I'm not really sure of big words, but I'm pretty sure that means have good expectations on everything. Like, even if something bad happens, you look the bright side of it.
And then new normal, that's like saying it might be weird for you, but it's going to be normal in the end. Like, it's going to be new to you, but you make it new to yourself. And then scare tactics, S, that's what S stands for. It's like, he says, stay in community with God's people because they will give you the strength to power through your hardships. So that's saying, like, us in the pink, we're always together. We're one unity now, and we're going to stay together and help each other up whenever we fall. Everything we've done, we know what we've done because we share, we're open with each other, and everything we've done. And I cried. When we were praising and everything, I seen some people, like my friends and everything, and they never lifted their hands and everything. And I just watched them. I stopped singing and everything and just watched them and bawled my eyes out because they had their hands all the way lifted and they were screaming as loud as they can. That was amazing. That was a good sight for me. I'm glad I saw that. John Gray, oh, he was good, really good. He was saying the church needs to be three things. It needs to be relational, relatable, and relevant. That one hit home because everything that's taught in church is going to relate to somebody. It might not relate to you, but that means it really does if you think it don't because you're not really listening to it, but it really hits home with you. It's going to be relatable. I just said that, sorry. And relevant, which they all mean the same thing, so I just said that. And another big thing that stood out, he was like, there's 66 books in the Bible, 66. So our story is going to be book number 67. It's going to lead to him. It's going to point to him. Everything about it needs to be pointing to him and teaching everybody about his word. And another thing he was saying, when we call to God, when we worship him, when we want to just be with him, it don't matter where we are, the bathroom, the shower, the work, on the way to work, anything, just call to him and he's there. He's always in your presence. But yeah, I just want to thank everybody that went, and I love all y'all and Cam, and just I hope to see all y'all next year there, and I want to see more of y'all come. Older people, too, y'all can come. It's going to be fun. And then just thank y'all for everything y'all have done. And God bless.